Today's Amud is Megillah Yud Gimel Amud Beis. We're holding on Yud Gimel Amud Aleph by the bottom line, Amar Rabbi Elazar. So says the Gemara, we just mentioned the fact that Esther was a tremendous tzanua, and Mordechai told her not to reveal where she came from, and she acted with tzias, and she didn't say which nation she came from. So on that note, says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Elazar, my dechsev, what's the meaning of the pasuk, lo yigra mi tzadik enav, that Hashem doesn't take away his eyes from the tzadik, that beschar tznias, shahisa ba berachel, zachsa viyatsa mi menashol. Because Rachel Imenu was such a big tzanua, so she was zaycha to have a child, Shaul HaMelech, ubeschar tznias, shahaya ba beshaul, and because of the tznias that Shaul HaMelech acted with, so zacha viyatsa mi menu Esther, so he was zaycha that ultimately from Shaul comes Esther. Now, tznias in the context of this sugya doesn't mean, you know, the length of Rachel Imenu's skirt or anything like that. Tznias in this context is going to be discussing the fact that they acted with a midah of tznias, the midah of tznias being, you know, out of the spotlight. So says the Gemara, now, umay tznias haisa baba Rachel. So what was the tznias? Where do you see that Rachel Imenu acted with tznias? The chsiv, as the pasuk says, v'yaged Yaakov l'Rachel, ki achi aviyahu. That Yaakov tells Rachel Imenu when they meet by the bear, so Yaakov tells Rachel that I'm your father's brother. Now ask the Gemara, v'chi achi aviyahu, was Yaakov Lavan's brother? Was he Rachel Imenu's father's brother? Yaakov wasn't Lavan's brother. V'haloi ben achais aviyahu. His mother Rivka was Lavan's brother. He was the son of Lavan's brother, of Lavan's sister. So Elo, so what does it mean when Yaakov Avinu told Rachel Imenu that he was her father's brother? Amar Lav. Says the Gemara that this was the conversation, that Amar La, he said to her, Min Svasli, he said, marry me. Not exactly the most romantic way to propose, but he said, you know, marry me. So Amar La in. So she says, okay, sure. You know, I guess that's one way to solve the Shidduch crisis. So, but Mihu, she said to him, you know, Abba Ramahu Vulo Yachlasli. Now you should know my father's a Rama, he's a trickster, and it's not going to work, you're not going to be able to. So it's very interesting, the Pais can point out, I saw Rav Zilberstein in Shirei Torah L'Raifim, in Chelek Aleph, on page Tav Samach Aleph, he points out from this Gemara, you see that a person, L'Tayeles, is allowed to say Lashon Hara, even about his own parents. Rachel Imenu says Lashon Hara about Lavan. She says, you're not going to be able to because he's a trickster. Now you could be daichad that, you know, here it wasn't necessarily the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em, even though Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva in Igros Moshe, where he says that even if a person's a ger, he has a chiv of Kibud Av V'Em on his parents, who are not Jewish, he says it's not midin Kibud Av V'Em, it's just midin Akaras HaToiv. There's a chiv of Akaras HaToiv for a ger to honor his parents who are not Jewish. But it's not the real mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em, so maybe here it wasn't actual Kibud Av V'Em. L'maisa, that's what they're medayik from here, that you're allowed to say Lashon Hara L'Tayeles even about one's own parents. So Rachel Imenu tells Yaakov, it's not going to work, he's a rami. And on that, Amar Lo, Yaakov Avinu was saying back to Rachel that Achiv Ana B'Ramos, that I'm his brother means I'm his brother with trickery. I could be just as trickery as him. I could act with just as much trickery. So Amar Le, so she said to him, Rachel says to Yaakov, Umishari L'Tzadike L'Saguye B'Ram Yusuf. You know, I'm starting to second guess the Shidduch. You're going to act with Ramos. Wait a second, I thought you were a tzaddik. Is a tzaddik allowed to act like that? So Amar La in. So Yaakov Avinu gave her a lesson. He says, yes, a tzaddik, even a tzaddik, is allowed to act in such a way. Like the pasuk says, Im navar titavar v'im ikesh titapo. That with someone who's honest, so titavar, you should act with honesty. But with someone who's an ikesh, he's crooked, so titapal, so you should be crooked back with him. So Amar La, and Yaakov says to Rachel, Umayram Yusa. And what exactly is this thing that you think he's going to be tricky with? So Amar Lei, so Rachel explained to Yaakov Avinu that Isli Achasa de Kshisha Minai. Because the truth is that I have an older sister. V'loi Mansav Li Mikama, and so he's not going to want to have it that I get married before her. And therefore he's going to try to trick you into marrying Leah, into marrying my older sister. So Masar la Simanim. So Yaakov gives Rachel the Simanim. The Bali Atesis on the Torah in Bereshis Perichav Tes Pasuk Hafei explained the Simanim were Nida Chala and Adlakas Haner. He gives her the Simanim, and like that, he would be able to confirm that it was Rachel, and they would be able to get married. So seemingly Yaakov was not masking to this idea that the older sister has to get married first. But we'll discuss that in the Ereisa la Halacha Maimer at the end of the week, Be'ezus Hashem. So Al Kapanim says Yaakov gives Rachel the Simanim. Kimata Lelia, eventually it becomes night. It's time to get, it's the night of the Chasana. And Amra Hashta Mikasfa Achasoi. And Rachel sees that Lavan is setting up her sister, Leah, to stand under the chuppah. And, she's not going to know the Simanim. Yaakov's going to ask her for the Simanim. She's not going to know it. So says Rachel, Hashta Mikasfa Achasoi. My sister's going to get embarrassed. So what did she do? Masartinu Nihala. Instead of making a whole scene, so she gave her the simanim. She gave Leah the simanim. V'hainu d'chsev, and that's the meaning of the pasuk. V'yihi boiker v'hinei Leah. It was in the morning, and behold, it was Leah. Mechlad da'ad hashta lav Leah. You mean to tell me that until now it wasn't really Leah? It was Leah the whole time. What does it mean that in the morning it was Leah? Elamitayich simanim shemasra Rachel Leah lahave yada ad hashta. But because Yaakov gave Rachel simanim, and Rachel gave those simanim to Leah, so Yaakov thought the whole night that it was really Leah. Lefichach, and Rachel acted with tznias by giving the simanim. Lefichach zach zaviyatsa mimena shal. So it's b'schus this tznias that she was zaycha, that Shaul HaMelech came from her. So again, so the pashtus is that the tznias over here is that she gave over the simanim to Leah without making a big scene, without being the center of attention. She just gave over the simanim. So that was the tznias. However, I saw the Ben Yishchai in Ben Yoyada, so he gives a different pshat. He says that, he asks that, how did Yaakov Avinu not realize that it was Leah? People have different, shapes of their bodies, they have different body language, they have different voices. Leah and Rachel were mamish identical. How did Yaakov not realize that it was Leah? So says the Ben Yishchai, because, we know that Rachel and Yaakov met by the Be'er, but then there were 7 years in between. So you would think that, of course, they were basically engaged, so, they would hang out a little bit, maybe they would talk to each other a little bit. Says the Ben Yishchai, no, Rachel acted with tremendous tznias, and anytime Yaakov had to go into the house, she would go into her room, she would hide. She would make sure not to be with him. They weren't married yet. They were married, so she acted with tznias, and she wasn't involved with him during those 7 years. Because of that, by the Chasana, it wasn't too difficult to trick Yaakov. As long as Leah had the simanim, so then Yaakov thought it was Rachel. He had no way to know. He didn't really have a lot to do with Rachel during those 7 years. That was the tznias. The tznias was the riot. The fact that this was able to work was because of Rachel Imenu's tznias. Al Kapanim, because of this, she was zeichet to have shal. We said that because Shaul acted with tznias, so he was zeichet to have Esther. What was the tznias that Shaul HaMelech acted with? Dechziv, as the pasuk says, and this is a pasuk when Shaul first became king. So the story goes like this, that Kish, who was Shaul HaMelech's father, he had lost some of his tzayin. So he asked Shaul to go look for it, to help him to find his tzayin, to help him find his cattle. And Shaul was looking all around, and Lamaisa, he couldn't find it. So he figured he would go to Shmuel HaNavi, he's the Navi, and Shmuel will tell him where the tzayin is. So he goes to Shmuel, and he introduces himself, he tells Shmuel that he's looking for the tzayin. And so Shmuel tells Shaul that, first of all, don't worry, the tzayin were found. And then he tells them, oh, and by the way, Hashem told me that I'm supposed to anoint you, and you are now the king of Klal Yisrael. So in the morning, he heads back home, and while he's on the way, so he bumps into his uncle. So his uncle asked him, so where did you go? So Shaul tells him, oh, I went to Shmuel HaNavi, I figured he would know where the sheep is. And so Shaul's uncle asks him, so what did Shmuel say? So Shaul says, oh, he told me that the cattle were found already. And says the pasuk, and this is where our Gemara picks up on, Ves Dvar Hamalucha Loi Higid Loi Asher Amar Shmuel. But that what Shmuel says, and now he's the king of Klal Yisrael, that he didn't tell his uncle. He acted with tznias, not wanting to take so much attention, and he just mentioned the fact that the tzayin were found, not mentioning the fact that he became the king of Klal Yisrael. And because of that tznias, so he was Zacha V'yatza Mimena Esther, who also acted with tznias like we had on the previous Amud, and she didn't reveal where she came from. Says the Gemara now, and so now we mentioned on the top of this Gemara, the pasuk la yigra mitzadik einav. So now that we mentioned the beginning of the pasuk, so the Gemara now just brings a drasha on the ending of the pasuk. So says the Gemara, va'amar Rabbi Elazar, that kesha Hakadosh Baruch Hu paisach gedula lo adam, when Hakadosh Baruch Hu decrees that there's going to be gedula for a person will be great. So he's paisach lebanav uvnei vanav ad seif kol adoreis. He paskins like that. That's going to be like that for all future generations. As the pasuk says, "Vayeshiva mal netzach vayigbahu," that it's lenetzach, it's forever. However, v'mheges daitai, if a person acts with arrogance from this gedula, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu mashpilai, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will lower him back down. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, v'masurim bazikim, and the pasuk concludes, "Ilachtu bechavli oini," so then he'll get yisurim, and Hashem will demote him. Continuing in the Gemara now, the pasuk says, "Kasher haisa ba'amana itai." So we're describing now Esther. Oops, I skipped. Vesmaimer Mordechai Esther Isa. So again, we're discussing the details of Esther in the palace, and the pasuk says that Esther did the Maimer Mordechai. What's this Maimer Mordechai referring to? Amar Rabbi Yirmiya, Shaisa Mare Damnida Lechachamim. That she was makbid on all the halachos that she had to be makbid about in the palace. Even on this, she was makbid to even be able to show her Damnida to the Chachamim to paskin for her. Kasher Haisa Ba'amana Itai, and she acted just like she was when she was growing up with Mordechai. I'm a Rabbi Bar Lema. Rabbi Bar Lema says, "Shahaisa imedes micheke shachashveirayish v'tayvelas v'ayshavas b'cheke shal Mordechai." When the pasuk says that she acted in the palace just like she did before, it means that she continued to be with Mordechai. She would be with Achashveirayish, but then she would go to the mikvah. Rashi explains that it was l'shem nikias, so that Mordechai shouldn't be disgusted. And then she would go and she would be with Mordechai. Be'yamim ahem u'Mordechai yoshev b'shar ha'melech. Katzaf big son Vaseresh. So the pasuk describes that sometime later, so Mordechai is sitting in the Shara Melech, and big son and Seresh are all angry at Achashverosh. So why are they angry? Amrav Chibar Abba, Amrav Yechanan. Before we get to the reason that they're angry, says the Gemara that Hiksef HaKadosh Baruch Hu Adon Al Avadav. We find in history, we find in the Torah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the master angry at his servants, Lasa Yisritzayim Tzadik, in order that the Ratzon of the Tzadik shall be fulfilled. Where do we find that? Umanu Yosef, we find that by Yosef, Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, V'sham Yitanu Nar Ivri, that the butlers of Paro were thrown into the jail with Yosef, so Hashem made it that the master, Parai, was angry at his avadim in order so that Yosef should be in the jail with them, he should interpret their dreams, and eventually rise to Gedula. And also, avadim alodeinayan, we find also that Hashem made it that the servant should be mad at their master, also lasais neis letzadik, so that a neis should happen to the tzadik. Umanu Mordechai, and that's referring to the story of Mordechai, tichziv, as the pasuk says, v'yivada hadavar leMordechai, that Bigson and Seresh got angry at Achashverosh, Mordechai was sitting right there, he knew everything that they were saying, and the pasuk goes on to say that Mordechai goes and he tells Esther, go tell Achashverosh that his life is being threatened, and eventually Achashverosh is saved, and Mordechai is written in the king's favor book. So you see that the nes happened to the tzaddik by Hashem making it that the avadim were upset at their master. Now, what was the story? So I'm Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Yechanan explained that Bigson v'Seresh were shnei Tarsiim havu. They were two people from the city of Tarsi. They were from Tarsi. They were Tarsiim. V'hayu misaprim b'lashin Torsi. And they were speaking in the lashon of their country, perhaps Turkey. So v'aimrim miyayim shabasa zu loy reinu sheina beinenu. And they were all upset. They were saying, from when Esther came into the palace, we have so much less sleep. Rashi explains that Achashverosh was being a lot of times with Esther, and because of that, he had a lot more demands, and they weren't able to sleep. So, boy v'natul eres v'seifel k'dei shiyamos. So they plotted against Achashverosh. They were very upset at Achashverosh. They said, let's go put some poison into his food, and we'll go and we'll kill him. Now, says the Gemara, they didn't realize that Mordechai sat in the Sanhedrin. And as part of the requirements to sit in the Sanhedrin, you have to know 70 languages. And Mordechai knew what they were saying. So he knew Turkish. So Amar Loi. So now one of the two, Bigson and Sarish, one of them said to the other, "V'haloi ein mishmarti u'mishmartan shava." But my mishmar and your mishmar u'mishmartcha shava. They're not the same. And I guess whatever plan that they devised, there was going to be a two-person plan. They needed both of them to be available, or at least to be available for the times of their shifts. And it wasn't going to work out. So Amar Loi. So the other said back that, "Don't worry, I need." Eshmar mishmarti u'mishmartecha. During one of the shifts, so I'll take my shift and I'll also watch your shift. Like that, you'll be extra available and you'll be able to go ahead and full out and carry out the plan to assassinate Achashverosh. V'hainu d'chziv, and that's what the pasuk means when it says v'yavukash hadavar v'yimatze. It says that when Mordechai said over that Achashverosh's life was being threatened, so it says that they searched it out to find out if it was true, but Yimatzeh, and they found it. What did they find? Sheloi nimtzu b'mishmarton. How were they able to find it? How were they able to confirm the plan? Because they saw that Bigson or Sarish, whichever one it was, wasn't guarding, wasn't by his shift. So they realized that something was up, and Mordechai was right, that's what they were planning to do, that they were planning to kill Achashverosh. So Acher Advarim Ha'ela. So then the pasuk in the Megillah continues, and it says, after these things. This is the beginning of the third parak of Esther. It says, after these things. So it's very vague. The pasuk goes on to say that after this, Achashverosh gives Haman a promotion. So what exactly is the after this thing? What happened exactly that Achashverosh now, all of a sudden, gave Haman a promotion? So, L'chayra al-pi pshat, before we get to what the Gemara says now, L'chayra al-pi pshat, what happened is as follows, that Achashverosh's life was in danger. Right? Mordechai just explained to Achashverosh that someone was trying to assassinate him. So now Achashverosh is sitting there. He's very, you know, he's shaken up. You know, he's thinking, wow, you know, my life was in danger. And who told Achashverosh ultimately that his life was in danger? Was Esther. Mordechai told Esther, go tell Achashverosh his life is in danger. So Achashverosh is thinking now, like, wow, it's a really good thing that I have Esther in the palace because, you know, now my life was just saved. If I was married still to Vashti, so Vashti and I didn't get along very well. If Vashti knew that someone was trying to kill me, she would probably let it happen. So Achashverosh is thinking very fortunate about the fact that he has Esther and not Vashti. And so he starts thinking even further back. So now, what is it that made it that now Esther is the queen? What happened to Vashti? So he says, oh, Vashti was killed. And who was it that had that brilliant idea to kill Vashti? Oh, that was Haman. So he realized that now that ultimately his whole life was saved by Haman, so that's why now all of a sudden, Achar Dvar Me'ela, after he was just saved, so now he goes and he gives Haman a promotion, and Haman becomes the second to the throne. Now I got from here until the end of the whole Purim story, it's a matter of just a few weeks. Haman's only second in command for a couple of weeks before he himself is hung. So Al-Kopanim though, so says the Gemara. So Achashverosh gives Haman this promotion, which we said, Al-Pipshat, the reason that Achashverosh L'chayre is thinking that he's giving Haman that promotion now is because now his life was just saved. However, Chazal are gonna tell us now a more Pnimius Dika reason. Why was Dafka now that Haman got the promotion? So says the Gemara, Achar Advar Me'ila, Amar Rava, Achar Shabara HaKadosh Baruch Hu Refu Olamaka. After now that Esther was in the palace and the refuah is all set up, Mordechai is in the Sefer HaZichronos that Achashverosh owes him a favor. So now the refuah is all ready. The Yeshua, the salvation is all prepared. So now Hashem is ready to send the Makkah. The Amar Reish Lakish, like Reish Lakish explained to us, that Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Makkah Es Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't afflict Klal Yisrael with a Makkah. Elam came Bayra Lehem Refuah Techila. Unless he first sends them the refuah, Hashem always sends the refuah before he sends the Makkah. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Kirafi Yisrael v'nigla avin Ephraim. First he gives us the refuah, and then it's v'nigla avin Ephraim, then Hashem gives us the Yisurim. And the Shem Yishmuel in Parsha Shemais, the way he explains, why is it that Hashem Dafka is naig like this with Klai Yisrael, that he gives us the refuah kaidim l'makkah? So the Shem Yishmuel in Shemais, in Tafresh Pei Gimel, so he explains that the reason why he does it like this is because the whole reason that Hashem gives Klal Yisrael a Makkah, it's not because Hashem's like, you know, trying to get us back. You know, we did something bad to Hashem, so Hashem's now like angry. Oh, you know, I'm gonna do to you, and I'm gonna, you know, do a Nekama back to us. Rather, when Hashem gives us a Makkah, the reason why Hashem gives us a Makkah is just in order to purify us. You know, we did something wrong, so now we need to be roy, to be makabel chasid Hashem. So Hashem wants us to be that kli kibul that we're roy to be mekabel as chesed. So mamela, he has to send us a makkah. But if there's not going to be a refuah, if we're not going to then afterwards be able to get back to our place and accept and receive the chesed Hashem, so then there's no point in the makkah. The makkah is not a nekama. The makkah is just to set us up for the refuah. So therefore, the mamela, the refuah always has to be set up first, because that's the old tachlis. The tachlis is not the makkah. The tachlis is that we should have the refuah and be able to then accept the bimakabo, receive the chesed Hashem. But that's the way Hashem is doing with the Yidden. However, says the Gemara, of umas ha'olam einai kein. By the Goyim, it's not the same way. It's not the same system. Rather, makkah yisun v'achakach bayri lahen refuah. He first gives them the makkah, and afterwards he works on the refuah, shenemar, as the pasuk says, v'nagaf Hashem es Mitzrayim, nagaif v'rafai. So you see, first there's the magefa, first there's the plague, and then there's the refuah. So the Gemara here now skips a few psukim. The last pasuk we mentioned in the Gemara is this, that Haman got this big promotion. And so now the very next pasuk says, V'chol avdei ha-melech, we'll read them out, it's not in the Gemara, but we'll just try to be mashlim, that the next pasuk says, V'chol avdei ha-melech asher b'shar ha-melech kairim u'mishtachvim la-Haman. So Haman makes this decree that everybody has to bow to him. Ki kein sivalei ha-melech. So, and everyone's bowing to Haman, everyone's doing that because that's what the melech commanded, everybody has to listen to Haman, and everyone's bowing. So this is actually a very funny pasuk. Haman was, mamish just a few minutes ago, he was, like we said, he was the lowest. He was the katan. He was the lowest advisor of Ahasuerus, right? He was the first one to speak up, but he was the lowest advisor. All of a sudden now, he gets this big promotion, and now all of a sudden he's demanding that everybody bows to him. A few minutes ago, he was the lowest advisor. All of a sudden now, he's the top official. Everybody has to bow to him. And if you don't bow to him, who is he going to get upset? It reminds me of something I once saw in the Sefer V'Igadita, or Rav Yaakov Galinsky. So he brings a mashal that they used to say in the Vardik. So B'Kitzur, the mashal is like this. It says that Reuven was a very poor man, and he was desperate for some money. So he got Shimon to split a lottery ticket with him. I guess Shimon was also poor. So Reuven and Shimon, they split and they bought a lottery ticket together. And Shimon was holding on to the ticket. And the lottery was, I guess, sometime late at night. And Shimon was holding on to the ticket. He was listening in to who won the lottery. And he sees that they have the winning ticket. So it's the middle of the night. But he figures, of course, he's going to tell Reuven. He goes running over through the streets to Reuven's house. He starts knocking on his door, and nobody's answering. It's the middle of the night. Reuven's sleeping. So he starts pounding on the door. Reuven, get out. I have something to tell you. So Reuven comes out finally. He's in his robe, and he sees Shimon by his door, and he's all confused. He says, what do you know? It's the middle of the night. What are you doing? Knocking on my door very loud. What's going on? So Shimon says, you're not going to believe it. We won the lottery. We're rich. So now Reuven's face starts to turn very angry. And so Shimon sees that. He sees, Reuven was confused before, and now he's angry. He says, why do you look so angry? So Reuven says, I can't believe you, Shimon. Shimon's all confused. Now Shimon's confused. You can't believe me. What do you mean you can't believe me? What's going on? So Reuven says, you, Shimon, out of all people, you know how rich I am. You're waking me up in the middle of the night? So he says, that's his idea. 5 minutes ago he was an ani. All of a sudden now he's rich. It changes his whole personality. Now all of a sudden, I can't believe you're waking me up in the middle of the night. That's Haman over here. Haman, 5 minutes ago he was the lowest advisor. All of a sudden now, he gets this promotion. All of a sudden everybody has to bow to him. So and now everyone accepts as the pasuk that there's one person who doesn't bow to Haman. Mordechai is not bowing. It was of a Zara. Rashi on the Megillah explains in the beginning of Perek Gimel. And so Mordechai is not bowing. And so says the next pasuk now in pasuk Dalid that they tell Haman, they go to Haman's, entourage. They go and they tell Haman that you should know Mordechai isn't bowing. Now it's funny that why do they have to tell Haman that Mordechai is not bowing? You would think if Haman's walking through the chatzar and everybody's on all fours and there's one person that's just remained standing, so Haman's going to see it himself that Mordechai is not bowing. Why does the pasuk say that they have to tell Haman that Mordechai is not bowing? The pshat is that Haman's head was held so high that he didn't even notice that Mordechai wasn't bowing. Haman's head was mamish up to the sky, so they had to go tell him. They had to go tell Haman, you had to put your head down for a second. Do you realize that Mordechai is not bowing? So now Haman goes and he takes a look and says, Pasuk Hey, Perek Gimel Pasuk Hey, the Pasuk says, V'yar Haman ki Mordechai karu mishtachev eloi, v'yimalei Haman chema. And Haman is very upset. Again, you see the the emphasis on the emotions of Rishaim throughout the Megillah. Haman's very upset, and now he's going to act because he's upset. Everyone's bowing. Mordechai is not bowing. Says Pasuk Vav, Vayivez Be'inav L'Shleach Yad B'Mordechai. But you know, Haman, he felt it was too much of a disgrace to his kavod to just hurt Mordechai. You know, that's going to give the mashmais, like one little Jew boy over there offends me. I don't get offended by people. I don't need him. But Lemaisa, he was insulted. But it was too much of a bizayin to him to just do something to Mordechai. So instead, says the pasuk, that he's going to kill us. Am Mordechai, v'yavakesh Haman l'hashmidas kol ha'yehudim. He's going to kill all the Jews. So he's going to make some sort of political excuse, obviously, as we'll see, that the reason why the Jews have to go. But Lemaisa, the pasuk tells us it's really all just because he was embarrassed and to just do something just to Mordechai. So now says the Gemara, v'yivaz be'enav l'shleach yad b'Mordechai levadoi. That Haman felt it was too much of a bizayin to him to just do something to Mordechai. So instead he says, I'm not just going to kill Mordechai, I'm going to kill his Am, I'm going to kill all the Yehudim. Says the Gemara, what's this elevation? It goes from Mordechai to his Am, to Kol HaYehudim, Amar Rava B'tchila B'Mordechai. At first he was thinking, ooh, I'm going to kill that Mordechai, Mordechai Levadai, U'l'basayv Ba'am Mordechai. Then he said, okay, I'm not just going to kill Mordechai, I'm going to kill all of Mordechai's nation, Umanu Rabbanan. That's a reference to the Talmid HaChachamim, to the Rabbanan. U'l'basayv, then ultimately he says in the end that he's going to be Lahashmid as Kol HaYehudim. It was B'chol HaYehudim, he decided he wants to kill all the Jews. And like we've mentioned in the past, people see this and they are very upset at Mordechai. They're telling Mordechai, this is all your fault, you're being too extreme, this is not how a Jew lives in Galus, you have to give in, you know, you didn't bow and now he wants to kill all of us. And Mordechai is saying, no, it's because of your Averus, that's why these things happen. Al-Kopanim says the Gemara, so now Haman has what he wants to do. Now the question is just when. So Hippopur Hu Agaira. So he makes this lottery, and there's the Lashon of the Pasuk is redundant. It says Hippopur, he makes a lottery. Hu Agaira. So what's Hu Agaira? Says the Gemara, Tana, that Kevan Shanafa Pur Bechoydash Adar. As soon as the lottery that he threw, it fell out during the month of Adar. So Samach Simcha Gedayla, he was tremendously happy. Amar, he said, Nafali Pur B'Yerach Shemes Boy Moshe. He was very excited. He said, this is the month that Moshe Rabbeinu died. He knows that Moshe Rabbeinu died on Zayin Adar. And so he was very excited, because obviously that means, he assumed at least, that it was a time that Klal Yisrael had very bad mazel. And so Moshe Rabbeinu died, it must be a time of bad mazel. So he was very excited that that's when the lottery fell out. And that's the meaning. Hu Agayrol, it means, says the Marsha, Hu Agayrol Haratzoy Lefnei Haman. It means that was the Gayrol that he really wanted. He threw a lottery and it came out exactly how he would want it to come out during the month of Adar. However, says the Gemara, V'lo Yayo Yodeya, Haman didn't know Shabeshiva Ba'adar Meis Ubeshiva Ba'adar Nailad. It wasn't just that Moshe Rabbeinu died on the 7th of Adar, he was also born then. And it really wasn't a time of bad mazel, it was actually a time of good mazel. Adar Abba, only a tzaddik dies on his birthday. That just shows you how good of a mazel it is. That shows you how righteous the person is. The fact that he died even on a day that he has good mazel, it must be completed his whole mission. That's the way Ravinus and Eibshitz and Yaris Devash explains that a tzaddik dies on his birthday, it's because it's a sign that he's a tzaddik, because the birthday of a person is a day that he has good mazel. I believe he brings the Yerushalmi for that. That a person's birthday is a day where he has good mazel. And the fact that a person's able to die on his birthday must be that he didn't die because of bad mazel. He died because that was just Pasha, his time to go. It was his time to leave this world on that day. It can't be for any other reason. It's a day of good mazel. It must just be it was his time to go. So he didn't realize that really we did. Klal Yisrael has good mazel during that month. So now Haman has exactly what he wants to do. He knows when he wants to do it. Now he just needs to get permission from the king. So now just to read the psukim relatively quickly, before we go into them, the Gemara is going to go into these psukim, but just to read it outside quickly. So the pasuk says, "Vayomer Haman lemelech Achashverosh." So Haman says to Achashverosh, he says, "Yeshna yam echad mefuzer umefurayit ben ha'amim." So Pasha Pshat, he says that, you know, there's a nation out there that they're all scattered amongst in our kingdom. B'chol medina is malchusecha. Udaseim shaynais. They have different laws mikolam. from all the other nations. And they don't keep your laws. It's not worth it for you to keep them alive. So he says to Achashverosh, please, you know, I think you should really just make a decree to get rid of all of them. And I'll even pay you for it. Says Haman, I'll pay you 10,000 pieces of silver, and you know, let's get rid of these people. So Achashverosh takes his signet ring from his hand, and he gives it to Haman to make this decree. So now it's interesting, the Pashup Shah, when you read the Psukim, so Haman never mentions that the people that he was referring to was the Jewish people, and that Achashverosh was some sort of anti-Semite that he wanted to kill the Jews. The Pasuk doesn't mention that, and the reason for that is because, like we said, that Achashverosh was alive when the Megillah was written, so they couldn't have that in the Megillah. However, Chazal found a way to sneak it in, or Mordechai and Esther, when they wrote the Megillah, they found a way to sneak it into the Pasuk. Because if you look closely, so the Lashon of the Pasuk is that Achashverosh knew exactly who he was talking about, who Haman was talking about. Because when he takes off his signet ring, and he gives it to Haman, so the Pasuk says, V'yitna l'Haman ben Amdasa Agagi Tzayira Yehudim, that he gave his ring to Haman, the one who hated the Jews. So Achashverosh knew good and well who Haman was talking about. But the Pasuk doesn't say it straight out. Here we have it that Haman's throwing his pitch to Achashverosh. He wants Achashverosh to get rid of the Jews, and Achashverosh agrees. So now says the Gemara, what exactly was Haman saying to Achashverosh? Yeshna Yam Echad, says the Gemara that there's a one nation. Amar Rava, says Rava about this whole pitch that Haman gave to Achashverosh, that Leka Diyada Lishna Bisha Kahaman. There's no one who knows Lashon Hara the way Haman does. Amar Le, Haman was telling Achashverosh as follows. Tanechlinu, he says to Achashverosh, come, let's go destroy the Jews. So Amar Le, so Achashverosh says to Haman, Mistafina Melakov, you know, I have a little bit of Yerushalayim, I'm scared of their God, maybe it's not gonna work. Delay Levibi kid David Bikamai. I don't want them to do to me, I don't want I don't want Hashem to do to me like he did to those that were before me. So Amar Le, so Haman says, you don't have to worry about their God, because Yashnu min ha-mitzvais. Yashnu, Yashna Yam Echad, Haman was saying that Yashnu min ha-mitzvais, that they're sleeping from the mitzvahs. The Maharsha explains that they're sleeping when they perform the mitzvahs. They're just doing it by rote, they're not really paying attention to what they're doing, and therefore they don't really have many zechusim right now. So Amar Le, so Achashverosh says, but it's Behu Rabbanan, but they do have some great people amongst them. So Amar Le, Haman says back to Achashverosh, no, I'm Echad Heim, Yeshnai I'm Echad. They're one nation, and Mamela, they're all responsible for each other. And therefore the Gedolim will be punished for that which the rest of the nation is Yeshnai. So Shema Taimar Karchani Aiseh B'Malchuscha. So Haman says now, he continues, and he says to Achashverosh, maybe you'll have another concern, that maybe if we kill all the Jews, so now there's going to be like blotches of land within your Malchus that are just, you know, like uninhabited. So to that, Haman says, no, don't worry, Mufuzarin Heim Bina Amim, that they're all scattered everywhere. They're all scattered, and therefore, to kill all the Jews, you're not going to really have such like bald spots amongst the Malchus. Haman continues, Shema Taimar is Hana Aminayu. Maybe you'll say that they give us Hana, that they do things for us. Says Haman, Mefayrod. No, they're Mefayrod. What does it mean they're Mefayrod? They're Kepre de Zoo. They're like this mule. Shaina Isa Peres. They don't do anything. They're good for nothing. That's the Haman's Lashon Hara, to say that there's nothing. The Jews don't do anything for us. They just, you know, they sit and learn. And, you know, there's nothing that we get from them. Meshema Taimar Ika Medinta Minayu. Maybe you'll say that, okay, fine, but there's a Medina that's filled with them. So one of our Medinas are now going to be completely desolate. Tamulaymar Bechol Medina is Machuscha. No, they're scattered amongst all your different Medinas. There's no one Medina where they all live, and you have nothing to worry about. And then continues Haman, the Pasuk says, V'daseyem shaynais mikol am, that they have different laws than any other nation. So what was Haman saying? Says the Gemara, D'loy achli minan, d'loy achli minan, they don't eat our food. V'loy nasvi minan, v'loy man sevilan, and they don't let us intermarry into them or them into us. Meaning our women don't marry their women don't marry our men. It doesn't go together. V'asdase hamelech enam aisim, and they don't keep your laws. What does it mean they don't keep your laws? That the mafki lekulu shasa, they excuse themselves throughout the whole year. They're always making excuses not to show up to different events or to do different things for the country. B'shahei paye, and their excuses Shahi Paye, Shabbos Hayoim and Pesach Hayoim. They're always saying, oh, it's Shabbos, it's Yontif, I can't show up to work, I can't do this, I can't do that. They're never keeping your laws. So I don't think it's really worth it for you to even leave them around in the country. The achlu v'shasu, they eat and they drink, umevazu le lamalchus, and they're mevaza you. Vafilu naifel zvuv b'koisei shel echad mehen. Even if a fly would fall into one of their cups, they're drinking wine, and a fly falls into the cup. You know what they do when a fly falls in? Zarkai v'shaseyu. They throw away the fly, they take it out, and they continue sipping the wine. V'maydeinei ha-melech noigeya b'koisei shel echad mehen chayvtoi b'karka v'eino shaseyu. But yet if you, the king, if you so much as touch their cup, of one of their cups, chayvtoi b'karka, they'll spill the whole thing onto the ground, v'eino shaseyu, and they won't drink it. You see that they're mevaza you. So therefore, says Haman, imal melech toiv, if it's befitting for you, if you're maskim, I think what you should do is yikasiv la'abdam, I think you should write a decree to destroy them, v'aseres alafim kikar kesef, and I'll give you 10,000 bars of silver. So Amar Reish Lakish commented on this pasuk, and he said that galav yadu lefnei misha amar v'haya oilam, it was galav yadu in front of Hashem who created the world, sha'asin Haman lishkol shkalim al Yisrael, that Haman was going to take out shkalim to offer Achashverosh and pay him 10,000 silver bars to kill Klal Yisrael. Lefichach, therefore Hashem gave us a zchus to preempt that. Hiktim shekleim l'shkalav. And he had us be makdim our shkalim to his shkalim. V'haynu ditnan, which referring to the mitzvah of machzis ha-shekel. Machzis ha-shekel comes before Haman shkalim. V'haynu ditnan, that's what it means in the Mishnah says, be'echad be'adar mashmian ala shkalim v'alaklayim. We already do that on the first day of Adar. On the first day of Adar, we already go around collecting machzis ha-shekel. That's a zchus to be makdim our shkalim to these shkalim that Haman had that he wanted to give Achashverosh to destroy Klal Yisrael.